So today's sermon text is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. And I want you to hear the word of the Lord. What I'm getting ready to read is different than me speaking. It is God's holy word. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might have preeminence. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are good and gracious. Your word is pure, a light and a lamp to guide us, a knife and a sword to cut us, salve to heal us, bread to feed us, water to quench our thirst. Your word is good because you are good and your words have flown from you. Would you protect us from the evil one who would snatch your word, kill your word, trample your word, and choke your word? And help us to be focused, to hear from you, and to be changed, to be reminded of the old ways, to have hope for the future. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Last week, we talked about our new logo, which you see there, and just kind of walked through what we want you to think when you see it. We want you to see that Bible there. And as I preached last week, the Word of God must be the foundation of everything we do. Everything must be Scripture bathed, Scripture drowned. It must come out of the Bible to do the things that we do here. And then we pointed to it. You'll see what's coming out of the Bible is this tree. But if you look at the trunk and the branches of that tree, it's a cross. So we're going to talk this week about we preach Christ and Him crucified. That the main focus of the Bible is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dying on the cross for sinners. And that is where we get our life here at Fellowship Baptist Church. That's why we put those leaves in green. So that you would see that preaching Christ through the Scriptures is what gives us life. And then you'll notice that one leaf has gone. Other leaves are blowing that way. It's because we want you to know that this life we received in Christ is to go and make disciples of all nations and in your own home and everywhere in between. So today, we're going to talk about the gospel focus in verses 21 through 23 there in Colossians chapter 1, with three main points. Gospel-focused salvation, gospel-focused sanctification, and gospel-focused security. Gospel-focused salvation, sanctification, and security. Point number one, gospel-focused salvation. If you'll notice there in your Bibles, verse 21, it says, "And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." You know, even as I read that before we prayed, I just had reminders coming in of my evil deeds from my youth up. and how I was hostile in mind and alienated. Alienated means separated, right? Separated from God. The gospel reminds us that not everybody is a child of God. In fact, as we learned in Romans chapter 1 through 3, that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That there's none righteous, no, not one. And that we were separated, right? We know, and what Paul reminds the church of Colossae here, is you were not always a child of God. There was a time in which you were alienated from God, separated because of your evil deeds. Your mind did not like God. You were hostile. You were an enemy of God. Romans 5 tells us there's an enmity, a hostility between humans and God. The gospel tells us that we are hopeless sinners, but, verse 12, He, Christ, has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His deeds. Verse 22. So He says, and you, verse 21, who were alienated, hostile, and did evil, He, so that you could take out those commas and look at that you, say you, He has now reconciled in His body. You once were alienated, but now you've been brought near by the blood of Jesus, that your standing, your salvation, your position in relationship to God being on good terms is only because Christ did the work to reconcile, bring you to God. And that through His death, He brought many sons to glory. The gospel tells us that it was the death of Christ that saves sinners, and that it is through His literal death, His literal body, His actual literal blood presented in heaven on our behalf as a payment for our sins. We are saved not by what we do, but by what He has done. Gospel-focused salvation always reminds us that we are sinners, that human beings are sinners, separated from God, enemies and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, and that Christ reconciled us. It does not say that we reconciled us through Christ. We reconciled ourselves. The blood of Christ is not a tool by which we use to get saved. The cross of Christ isn't an opportunity to be saved. The cross of Christ is where salvation happens. He actually saved His people on the cross. The salvation of sinners is based on the gospel, and our roots must go deep and wide in this truth as a church. We must have gospel-focused salvation, that people get saved by believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not by going to church, not by getting right with God, not by getting God in your heart, by believing that the death of Jesus Christ and that blood actually atones for our sins, and that His resurrection, that power is what justifies us in the eyes of God. Believing that saves us. Not how well we believe it, just believing it. Believing the gospel. Gospel-powered salvation. We must stay focused on this as a church, that this is how people get saved. We must focus on what Christ has done. I'm tempted to not do that. Many of you would think that's a shocking statement because I've pastored here full-time, filled this pulpit for 8 years, and by God's grace, I don't think I've strayed from that. But I'm tempted. I'm tempted to want gospel fruit, gospel salvation, by seeing quicker responses, by seeing quicker fruit, right? And I was just reminded this morning, and I don't want this to sound arrogant or mean in any way, But it's not that I am not talented enough to move minds and hearts and emotions and get you to cry every week and respond in some way. I can do that. I have done that. But preaching that way, of always looking for that immediate response, it's like sugar. It's like a sugar high, and it feels good. And we all leave feeling wonderful, and we say things like, man, God was there today. Like somehow he wasn't last week when we just preached his word. But what does sugar do to us? What it does to me, maybe not everybody, makes me an addict. And I can't be satisfied with the things. Other things, I've got to have the sugar. I'm coming out of this Christmas season. It's like detox, and it's difficult. I want the sugar. But the other thing it does is it makes you fat and unhealthy in my body. And then it causes an early death. And you get to crave. If you're not gospel-focused on how people actually get saved, you'll chase all these gimmicks through all kinds of tools that the world has used in the past to get people, quote unquote, saved. And what you end up with is an overweight church that dies young, that is not healthy. And I want you to look around this morning, Fellowship Baptist. You covenant members here, I want you to look around. We're not the biggest church. I'm not saying that we're the healthiest, but I want you to look around and praise God and be thankful that there is deep roots here in the gospel. I have seen, and I'm just one in a line of pastors. I'm not taking all the credit for this at all. I have seen growth go deep and wide in your lives. I've seen you change. I think you've probably seen me change in trusting in Christ and what that means. For Fellowship Baptist Church to have a fruitful future, we must stay focused on gospel-focused salvation. That the only way a person gets saved is believing the gospel. And not try to short-circuit that with some gimmick. Point number two, gospel-focused salvation. Look at the second part of verse 22. So he's reconciled in his body by flesh by his death. Why? In order to present you, Colossae, you who used to be alienated, all your evil deeds, hostile in your mind, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach before him. That Christ did the work to save you. You received it by faith. And the purpose of this is that Christ will be presented with his work, which is a holy, blameless, and above reproach people. His work on the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, his pouring out of the Spirit is to present you to God, to himself, holy. Holy means otherness, set apart from the world. We should look different. We should be different in our inner beings, but set apart to be what? Blameless, with no sins counting against us. Christ's work on the cross to save us is to make us holy and actually blameless. One, he does that by wiping away our sins. Two, he does that through sending his Spirit for us to walk in and live by and be changed in how we actually live. That's why what we learned in chapter 6 of Romans, and I hope it's burned in your mind, it is never okay for a Christian to sin. Never. Saved by grace? Yes. Grace will reign all the way through eternal life? 100%. Should we sin? No. Never. Never. Gospel-focused sanctification stays focused on the way you are made holy when you've been saved, is to let Christ work in your life through the Spirit by faith. That our sanctification must be gospel focus. We do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to get to heaven and then go back to the Ten Commandments to see how we should live to get there. Those are good, they're powerful, they're holy, they're righteous. There's nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments, but they're over there. It's the Spirit of God in us, purchased for us through the death of Christ on the cross, that actually makes us holy, that we would walk Him. Do not go to Moses. Go to Jesus. Go to the cross and be made holy. The sanctification of the saints is based on the gospel, and our roots must go deep and wide in this truth. We must focus on what Christ is doing now, what He did in saving us and what He's doing now in sanctification. Our goal is to be these leaves that the Spirit sends to our home, to our work, to our schools, to our neighbors and our family. But He's not going to send an unholy people. We must be holy through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and stay focused on gospel sanctification. Point number three, gospel-focused security. Verse 23 starts with, if. Notice that. If you continue in the faith. If you continue, if you keep believing. Notice he said Christ did the work. The work is to make you completely holy. And then he says you've got to keep believing. Don't go back to Moses. Don't start trying to work yourself into heaven. Don't start getting a big head on your accomplishments. We keep a membership role here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Joanne just through a bunch of diligent work, put it all in a brand new computer system to where we can access it and see it and understand. That will perish here. There is no Fellowship Baptist Church role in heaven. Don't take comfort in that. Take comfort in believing the gospel. You've heard me say before that Christians are not those who repented and believed, past tense. It's those of us who repent and believe, present tense. You start believing and you start repenting and you don't quit by God's grace. And you do it by faith, stable and steadfast. I think that implies that there's going to be things to knock you around, like suffering we just preached through for months. But you know what? Nobody in this church came to me as I preached about sufferings from Romans 8 for months and said, Tom, I think you're overdoing it. Life's not that hard. Nobody. Nobody came to me and said, you know, I'm just not really tracking with this. Christianity is difficult. Sin is hard to quit. Life in this body hurts. Life with family and neighbors hurts. Nobody came to me, not one, and said, that makes no sense. So by faith, we must be stable against all of this, steadfast. When we're tempted, we must hear faith alone. You must continue in the faith alone. So the positive there is if indeed you continue in the faith, positive. The negative is after the comma, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. He goes back to what saved you. When he's talking about what's going to keep you for eternity, he goes back to what brought you into the kingdom in the first place, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died. The good news, the gospel. So Fellowship Baptist Church, to have a fruitful future, we have to stay focused on not only are we saved by the work of Christ alone, gospel-focused salvation, but we are sanctified and made holy by the work of Christ alone. And our faith walking in then. We are kept to the day of Christ. We kept to the day of eternity. We are kept until we see His face and dwell with Him forever by His work on the cross. And our roots in this must go deep and wide. We must stay focused on gospel-focused security. So what is the gospel? I hope many, if not all of you, know where I'm going, right? I went there Friday night with a bunch of youth. Talked about how who God is where the gospel starts. That God is holy, righteous. He made everything. He's the creator, ruler, and sustainer of the universe. And he made it very good. He's also the judge who never messes anything. We were singing about that fountain filled with blood. And when Satan's just tempted you to remind you that there might be something that would keep you out of heaven, the truth that God is just and he's a just judge, that of all the untold number that will be in his presence in eternity, not one will have snuck in there by accident. I like crunching numbers and seeing numbers add up and be equal, right? But when I balance my checkbook, I add it going down and then I add it coming back up. You know why? Because I always make mistakes. I think I've got a tinge of dyslexia, and I'll put numbers in the backward. So if I make a mistake going either direction, I'll do it again both directions. I'm not talking about a bank ledger. I'm talking about four numbers. Wouldn't you be terrified if your eternal state or the eternal state of the person who is wicked and it seems they're getting away with it was dependent on a guy that can't add some numbers? Or even take the smartest human being. You think they don't make mistakes? You don't think they're tempted to be unjust sometimes? Our hope is based upon God being a just judge. That's fearful, though, isn't it? Because he will judge every single sin till it's paid for. Till it's paid for. The gospel starts with God, and the gospel then goes to the second point of the gospel, man, that we are his special creation, created in his image, that he made us very good, that we were naked and not ashamed, we were sinless, and in Adam we sinned. And we rebelled against God, and we fell. And we can't even fathom what naked and not ashamed means. And immediately we started blaming one another. Adam and Eve, you see this, and pointing at the devil and pointing at each other. And nobody saying, I just have mercy on me, I failed. We turn into these accusers, like the accuser. And we died physically, and death has consumed our family. We died spiritually. We are condemned under this just God. Because of our sins, we deserve hell, we deserve death, and if it weren't for Christ, we would all be going there. Which brings me to the third point of the gospel, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That Jesus is God, and that in the incarnation, God becomes a man inside of Mary. And this baby who is God and man, fully God and fully man, truly God and truly man, grows up, never once sins, and is crucified, is put to death for our sins, for the sins of his people. He will forgive his people of their sins. That Jesus Christ died to pay the ransom for the sins of his people. The third point of the gospel is Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ did not stay dead. They put him in the grave, and God bore witness that he was his son by raising him from the dead. And when a dead man lives, you better listen. Because the one thing that gets all of us, death, could not contain or control or keep him. Think about that for a second. Think of all the powerful men in the history of the world or powerful women in the history of the world. They're gone and they bring me no fear. But a man who lives after being dead is terrifying. What are you going to do with him? You're going to bow. It's your only option. He was raised from the dead. And His resurrection, Paul says in Romans, is what justifies us. It's what God uses to make us right. That our sins, if you will, go into the grave. And they stay. And our new life comes out. That's a good way for you to picture your life as a Christian. Your old man dead and gone. Buried. New man living. And the last point of the gospel four is response. What are we to do? We go to Jerusalem, get on Calvary, crawl up it, prove that we really hate our sins? Nope. What are we to do? Receive Jesus Christ by faith. Believe. Folks, that's crazy. That sinner like me and a sinner like you can be in the presence of this holy and righteous God for eternity because we just say, yes, I'll take it. I receive it. I'm thankful. And I will, the second part, repent. Turn away from it. I'm going to leave the grave by faith. I'm going to come. I'm going to do like Lazarus. I'm going to hear my name and I'm going to go. I don't understand it fully. I can't tell you every single thing about Jesus, but I know His blood paid for my sins. We're going to repent of our sins and we're going to believe the gospel. We're going to believe the truth that Jesus died for our sins. Brothers and sisters, we must be gospel-focused here at Fellowship Baptist Church, gospel-rooted, that everything that grows out of ministry that we're going to talk about over the next 4 weeks is going to be wrapped around who God is, who humans are, who Jesus is and what He did, and what is mankind's response to that. Absolutely everything. And if we stray from gospel-focused, we will not last. So, the Bible, the Word of God, is what everything here at Fellowship Baptist Church must flow from for a future, fruitful future. It's the only way we can be fruitful. The focus of the Bible is the person and work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the gospel. Everything we believe and do must, I want to repeat, must be rooted in who Jesus is, what He has done, what He is doing, sanctification, and what He will do, finish our salvation, and judge the wicked. As individual church members, I want you to be gospel-focused. I want you to be Jesus-focused. This must be what you believe and remind yourself of daily. As a covenant community here in this congregation, it's the exact same. Focus on Jesus. It's how we help one another, right? Our encouragement to one another must be focused on who Jesus is, who He is in His person, what He did on the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, and the return. Every problem that we come in contact with for one another, we bring this truth to. We share the good news in every situation. Someone suffering and fighting against sin, falling into it. What do? You go to them, you remind them Christ died to forgive sins. Somebody fighting against sin and not yet fallen, you go to them, you remind them the Spirit has been purchased to empower you to not do this thing ever again. Forgiven for doing it and empowered to never do it again. With every little sin and every big sin. This is what we must tell each other. They come and say, I can't balance my checkbook. And I don't pay my bills. And that's wrong to not pay people. What do I do? Well, we're tempted to say, here's what Dave Ramsey says. Here's what Larry Burkett says. Here's what I do. Do it. Go to the gospel. You might also use Ramsey or Burkett. You might use some other tool. But it must be rooted in the gospel for it to have lasting fruit. It's how we help each other in holiness. In joy. It's how we help each other enjoy people suffering physically and emotionally, fighting against this sin-cursed world. I don't know who in here had an appointment this week at the doctor, and it was bad. Your hope is in the gospel. Not the latest technique that you can Google. When we go to Bailey's, our hope is in the gospel. That Christ not only died to pay for our sins, empowers us over sin, but in John 15, as I remind you all the time, he tells us about sanctification through the power of the Spirit that he purchases on the cross so that his joy will be in you and your joy full. Holiness and joy. Let's remind one another of this when we need it. When we're suffering and fighting against despair and the fear of death and dying, bring the gospel to one another. Bring the gospel if you want fruit. We're going to talk about evangelism and missions, discipleship, holiness, and joy in the coming weeks. But before we even think about fruit off of this tree, our own or others, we must focus on deep and wide gospel roots. Deep and wide gospel roots. And if I show up next week with some clever thing that I call the gospel and yet is another gospel than the one I've already preached to you, let me be accursed and you run me out of here. Stay focused in deep roots in Jesus Christ. Our fruitful future here at Fellowship Baptist Church is 100% dependent on how deep and wide our roots go in the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hear this quote at the end from a man named Edward Payson, if you want to read about a Congregationalist minister from the 1800s. The cross of Christ, to the cross of Christ, all eternity looked forward. To the cross of Christ, all eternity will look back. The cross of Christ was, if I may so express it, the first object which existed in the divine mind. And with reference to this great object, all other objects were created. With reference to this same object, they are still preserved. With reference to the same object, every event that takes place in heaven, earth, and hell is directed and overruled. Surely then, this object ought to engage our undivided attention. We ought to regard this world merely as a stage on which the cross of Christ was to be erected and the great drama of the crucifixion acted. We ought to regard all that it contains as only the scenes and draperies necessary for its exhibition. We are to regard the celestial luminaries merely as lamps by the light of which the stupendous spectacular may be beheld. We ought to view angels, men, and devils as subordinate actors on the stage and all the commotions and revolutions of the world as subservient to this one grand design. Separate any part of this creation or any event that has ever taken place from its relation to Christ, and it dwindles in insignificancy. No sufficient reason can be assigned for its existence, and it appears to have been formed in vain. But when it is viewed as connected with Him, everything becomes important. Everything then appears to be a part of one grand, systematic, harmonious whole, a whole worthy of Him that formed it. It was such a view which led the apostle to exclaim, "God forbid that I should boast save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Fellowship Baptist Church must have roots deep in the gospel of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I want to praise you and I want to thank you for what you have done in saving your people. that we're not in hell right now is a miracle that angers Satan and the wicked. Praise your name for what you have done in Jesus Christ for us. So we pray in His name and we ask that you would keep Fellowship Baptist Church focused on Jesus and His good news, and that we would go deeper and wider in our knowledge and understanding of who He is and what He's done. And that any fruit that comes from this body of believers, Father, will be fruit that has flown through that. And if that's not, if it doesn't come from Him, Father, let us not be fruitful. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and we worship Him. In His name, amen.